Good morning. Good morning, listening audience. It's Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning, 0900 hours. It's the Jay Rice Show on WJNI 106.3. Welcome. Welcome to the show. It is a pleasure. It is always a pleasure to be on Sunday mornings and to have this opportunity to engage and be a part of your Sunday mornings. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, everybody. It's time. It's the Jay Rice Show, WJNI 106.3. This is a call-in platform. We have a chance to not only listen to the show, but be a part of the show. You know, uniquely last week, I'm always being critiqued about how I'm doing my business here in the studio. And I was told last week, you know, when I was doing the show by you know who and Sunshine and family members were saying, hey, you talked too much last week. We don't want you to talk as much. And I was like, well, you know, it's a talk show. I thought that's what you're supposed to do is talk, right? You know, I'm okay with the critiques, and you know, I'm one that believe in corrective criticism or whatever. But again, it's a talk show, so as y'all sit back and you listen to this talk show this morning, if you find that I'm talking, then call up and tell me your thoughts on that. 843-308-9564. If you're one that think I talk too much, 843-308-9564 is the number. Call up, because I really believe they're also a sponsor, so I have to respect their wishes and going to give you, the caller, a chance to be a part, more engaged in this show, because that's what I think needs to happen. We 843-308-9564 is the number. Call up, be a part of the show. My sponsors is who make this show, Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, who think I talk too much, Johnson and Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters Check Cashing, and True Life Ministry, new sponsor on Rivers Avenue. Go by and see them. Service start at 11 a.m. And I think in a couple weeks they got an event that they're putting on, and you'll hear from Wallace Washington, either Tammy next week or so, talking about that event that they got scheduled for the 16th. Again, good morning. Let's get right to the show, because you know what I do. I bring the subject matters to you. You get a chance to have dialogue about them, and you know, let's see how, where we go. My daughter's home from college. Got to mention that. She's home from college in her last year of college. Man, I tell you, time really, really, really flies. And senior now, last year in college. What's next? You know, I think, I love having her around. Last day or so she's been home, but, you know, it's always a challenge to have to fight with her about anything that we say or do, but it's love, and that's what I call it. I call it love. Well, this morning we're getting into the show, Vaccination Mandate. Vaccination Mandate. North Charleston, you need... You were the first to immediately create this problem for other municipalities. Let me say that. North Charleston, first to create this immediate problem for other municipalities and local governments. But as you did, North Charleston and Mayor Keith Summey, the city of Charleston jumped on. Then Charleston County jumped on with the mandatory vaccination for its employees, are, you know, with some exceptions. And again, those exceptions, you as an employer, you get to determine whether or not they're acceptable or not acceptable. I'd like to hear from you. If you got a problem with the exceptions, then call up. And you don't have to say who you work for. Just call up 843-308-9564 if you got a problem with the exceptions to the mandatory vaccination. Okay. Charleston County jumped on. City of Charleston's on. North Charleston, you created a problem for everybody. Now, when will the announcement be made in Mount Pleasant? Well, we'll get the thoughts from a candidate that's running for council from Mount Pleasant on if this is being discussed and could this become a question during the campaign. But we'll stand back and we'll see. I'll be remiss if I didn't thank Joe's for being on the ones and twos this morning. Joe's is holding things down for me, making sure that this show goes smoothly. So when you call in, Joe is my first line of defense. You go through Joe to get to Jay Wright, but you can get to me. Very disturbing comment was made this week, and very concerning. A report from one media outlet says forcing the vaccination on the public was a bigger crime than selling fake vaccination cards. I'm going to say that again to make sure you hear me. The comment was made that is a bigger crime to force the vaccination on the public than it is to sell fake vaccination cards. I want to hear your thoughts on that because selling fake cards, you know, what are your thoughts? How much would you pay for a fake vaccination card? Would you buy one? I knew that if they can make a fake Louis Vuitton, they can definitely make fake vaccine cards. I knew it was coming. You knew it was coming too. So don't look on your shoulder if you're carrying a fake Louis, but nobody knows but you. But nonetheless, they can make fake Louis Vuitton bags. You knew the vaccine cards were coming. Would you buy one? And what are they worth? What would it be worth to you to have a vaccine card? And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the booster. And my thoughts on the booster, I'll just give you my thoughts, and then you can call up and you can share with me your thoughts. And again, anything I'm talking about, you're more than welcome to call up. And if it's something I did not talk about that might be important to you, then I want to hear you talk about that as well. If you can boost Facebook, you can boost Jay Wright. I'm standing by waiting to be boosted. If Facebook can be boosted, so can Jay Wright. I am waiting on that booster. Throughout my career, you know, I took a lot of shots, a lot of shots. I even have an international vaccine card. So boost me if you like. I'm ready and I'm waiting. You know, what's the worst that can happen? Boost me. I'm okay with that. Some of you may or may not be okay with it, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. That storm, Hurricane Ida flooding, you know, the images in Louisiana, New York, and New Jersey was unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. And it becomes, I guess, my concern and my question to you, the listening audience, because I need your help, because I don't know, but, you know, you guys help me out all the time on Sunday mornings, do we have an infrastructure, a real infrastructure concern based on what we're seeing? Is global warming real? So, you know, you could help me because I want to know, given what you saw in the images from Louisiana, New York, and New Jersey, do we have an infrastructure problem? Is global warming real? I need you to call up and tell me. Simply because, you know, when now, I'm not quite sure the full understanding of global warming. I'm not really quite sure what it really means. But I do know Al Gore, back in 2007, was given the Nobel Peace Prize for his awareness and his work around global warming. But there's some understanding I don't technically have about global warming. And is this Hurricane Ida, the storms, what we've seen in New York and New Jersey and Louisiana, is that a global warming thing or is that just an infrastructure issue? So, you know, you're free to call up and tell me your thoughts on that. But I will say this, and you probably was thinking it yourself, but didn't say it, is that how do you do a mass evacuation in New York City? How do you do that? How do you do a mass evacuation of 16 million people from a community? What does that look like? You're telling everybody to evacuate. Let's just imagine 16 million people trying to get out of a community all at one time. What does that look like? I didn't even know you can ask for a mandatory evacuation from New York City. I just didn't know that. But anyway. You know, so you can help me. Call up. I want to hear your thoughts on it. I, you know, people are always chiming in and they want to tell me what they want to talk about. And I'm going to tell you, you know, the question I was given, and I was going to definitely talk about it, but what I will ask is, I'm going to ask the question, and you know who you are that sent them to me. Why are these sporting events not requiring people to wear masks? When will we see a huge spike in the COVID numbers because of the sporting events? Well, thank you, Mr. Keel Vanderhorst. But let me tell you this. I did wonder those same things on yesterday as I watched all those sporting events and I saw the people. I said, wow, this is a great way to close out Labor Day. But will there be consequences to this? Now, I'm believing there will be. I believe there will be. But it's Labor Day, man. I mean, people were crowding up to the games on yesterday. So what will we look like a week from now? What will we look like 7 days from now? Look, I got a couple callers on the line. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to jump right in because I want to hear from you. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry. I'm going to do the right thing and jump right in, and I'm going to get those callers on the line because they got something they want to say, and we want to hear from them. And also, I want to get your thoughts about something called Sweetest Day. And we're going to talk about Sweetest Day and what that means and why don't we have it here in South Carolina. It's a very unique thing to Ohio. And I pick on Ohio a lot because I lived there for those 13 years. But I'm going to jump right in and get a chance to get a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the J-Rice Show.
Good morning, Johnny Wright.
Good morning, Cousin M. How are you, my weekly caller? How are you this morning, Cousin M?
I am fine. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm in the studio, and I'm having fun.
Good, good. Okay, I want to talk about the global warming.
Okay.
I think it's both global warming and infrastructure. Okay?
Okay.
Some of our politicians seem to think that we don't need to have infrastructure. That's very important, okay? Because this is why things like this happen in New York, and it's not the first time it happened in New York. It happened a couple years ago,
right.
A few years ago,
mm-hmm.
when Christie was governor in New Jersey. Jersey got flooded. New York got flooded. This time, New York subway systems underground got flooded, and they couldn't even run the train.
Right.
You know, so it's a problem with both. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Because, you know, I'm just not that well versed. I mean, I'm not, you know, I am Jay Wright, but I don't know everything. So, you know, I know that that's something that I'm not, you know, I love to talk about, but I'm not that well versed in it. And there's some misunderstanding mm-hmm. there, from on my behalf on. Global warming part, mm-hmm. but I know infrastructure is something that's man-made. We, you know, we do that part. So, mm-hmm. yeah, thank you so much for chiming in on that.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you always calling in and listening.
I appreciate you too.
All right. Thank you, Cousin M. You have a good day. And we'll talk again.
We'll
talk later today, yes. But then we'll talk again next Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. That's true.
All right. Thank you, Cousin M. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. You have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's my cousin, M. Y'all know her. She's a weekly caller. She makes sure that she gets in on the Jay Rice Show, and she puts her spin, her understanding on any of the subject matters that I may be discussing. But, you know, again, I'm going to bring you back to something, and I want you to think about it. I want you to really give some consideration to it. This week, one of the, and I'm going to get back to the, I'll get to it. I'll get to it on the back end. I'm going to talk about the Afghanistans and how many of them worked for the U.S. government during those 20 years that we occupied there. How many of them? So we're going to talk about that a little later on. Just keep in mind. I'm going to jump right in. I got a call online. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
John, this is Carl Ritchie calling in, my friend.
Good morning, my friend. Carl Ritchie, former chief of police for the town of Mount Pleasant, now candidate for council for the beautiful, mighty town of Mount Pleasant. Just the other day, it seemed like we were just on the show talking about your retirement. And because of your continued commitment to service, you're now engaging in something else. And let's talk about it.
Absolutely, John. I mean, I sure do appreciate it. You know, I've been in public service for 37 years. You know, started out as a military police officer serving our nation, continued on as a police officer serving both the city of North Charleston and 32 years with the town of Mount Pleasant. The last 8.5 years as the police chief, retiring in May. And, you know, I just knew I had so much more I still wanted to give this great town and work with people like you and other community leaders to continue keeping Mount Pleasant as great as it is.
You know, I know this is another step for you, but it's not a big step because you're already doing essentially this role already. What are some of the things that you think that you look forward to addressing during your time on council, or you look forward to engaging the community in? What are some of those things? And I'm going to always call you Chief Richie because I'm not sure that I cannot call you Chief Richie.
You know, my friend, I appreciate that, and I earned the title, and I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with being called Carl, Sue. But, you know, you asked me some of the things I want to look at. You know, obviously, we have such a safe city or safe town. We've been ranked in top 5 safest city in the nation, you know, year after year under my leadership and some of the leaders before me. You know, you look at the crime and the violence going on around us. We just have a great police department. We have great first responders, and that's what makes our town so attractive and so safe. We got to be sure we're paying our first responders properly and making sure that they're earning what they're supposed to be. So obviously I want to focus on that. You know, our traffic concerns, I mean, that's been going on for years. We've got some great road projects already approved for the town. Let's make sure they get done with on time within budget. And, you know, and development's always going to happen, but it's got to be responsible so we can keep up with all of our infrastructure. We got some buildings right now that are empty. I'd love to see those people get in there and use the existing empty buildings, and let's bring some businesses back to Mount Pleasant. And then the last thing that I on top of my list is our mental health and substance abuse disorder. You know, I worked so closely with Nancy Shipman and Wake Up Carolina for years establishing programs to help our citizens suffering with mental health issues and substance abuse disorder. And I think as a town and town government, we should partner with these folks and work together. And by doing that, we can keep taking care of our citizens so they can live happy and productive lives.
You know, Chief, I want to thank you again for addressing all those issues and continuing to stay an active part of the community in Mount Pleasant. You know, one of the reasons why I came back home after 29 years away, because I always knew that Mount Pleasant was a very safe place to live. And
yes,
and 8 years later, I it's exactly that. And those 8 years been under your leadership as chief. And so I really appreciate your work. You know, this past week, Nancy, you have been doing really good work with Nancy and that opioid crisis and raising awareness to that issue. And I know this past week, I didn't get a chance to get by there, but it was a great event that was done at Town Hall, and I'm sure you were a part of that. You want to talk about how that went as well?
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't make it either because just with a medical issue my wife was having. So, unfortunately, but I did reach out to Nancy, but we have talked since, and I understand that it was a packed room inside and out. And the Mount Pleasant Police Department did a fantastic job working hand-to-hand with Wake Up Carolina. And they continue to get such positive stories out there that will continue, that she'll continue, and I'll continue working with her to do. You know, John, you mentioned something about a safe community, but I also want to talk about, you know, it couldn't be safe without my community partners like yourself and some of the great people in Mount Pleasant. You look at what we dealt with, both pandemic and then with our civil unrest. When you see what's going on around the nation, you know, not once, but twice, you and I were very much involved in the Unity Walk, and then more recently, the activists who came over wanting to march, wanting to be heard, and we made it safe. There was no violence. There was no destruction. That was because of people like you and me and other people in our community sitting down with these young people and talking to them, and I sure appreciate that very much.
You know, Chief, that was it was something that I always think of when I think of community. You know, I think of those opportunities that you and I had to sit down with, you know, people that we didn't even know, didn't know much about at all.
That's
but
right.
To come to one common core, one common core interest, and that was what's best and what was the safest way to do it.
Yes, and
I appreciate you for that. And so you know, what I look forward to having this opportunity to continue to work with you. And you know, I did want to ask a quick question of you. The police wages, as that issue is kind of, you know, front and center in the town of Mount Pleasant, is our officers' pay, where are they as far as state and ranked in the state with pay? Is that how far are they below the state pay, or is there a national pay scale that that we're looking at there?
You know, John, you know, it's hard to compare, you know, the Mount Pleasant Police Department, other agencies in the state. And no matter what agency you pull up, the pay is going to be so different. It can be, starting pay could range a disparity between $20,000, $25,000, depending on where you go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yes, Mount Pleasant makes a decent wage, but it's really not a livable wage. When you've got officers who are working off duties almost every day they're off to continue, you know, to help their salaries, that they're working long hours. You know, you talk about the storms, you talk about the pandemic. And when our town is so safe, I have a lot of love and respect for my two chiefs in North Charleston and Charleston City. But when you look at how safe the town of Mount Pleasant is, and it's because of the men and women, the police officers that are doing the job, they deserve more pay.
Absolutely.
They really do. And it's hard to put it on a scale like you're saying. You know, the wage and comp study I was involved in, and I told the person doing the comp study, you cannot compare, you know, apples to oranges out here. You've got to look at what Mount Pleasant does, not just the police, but the fire and our public works. So I'm hoping that can be addressed, where we have a lot of police officers who want to live in the town, simply can't afford to live in the town. You know, we got to address that as well. So we don't get into it for the money, but we've got to take better care of our first responders.
But, you know, Chief, you mentioned of something that's very valid. And, you know, this has been one of the things that I've consistently talked about. And I'm very grateful that you're running for for town council, because, you know, these are issues that we can get addressed. We're not comparing what one police department makes over another. We're comparing the great work that the officers are doing in Mount Pleasant. And when you talk about livability, you know, it is very, very concerning when we cannot have police officers live in our communities simply because they can't afford to live there. We got that. That is an issue that we have to address. We have to look at workforce housing, and we have to look at more creative ways. And I'm sure there's something that you're going to address, more creative ways to get our officers in our communities, living in our communities.
Well, I agree. And again, not just the officers, our firefighters,
absolutely,
our public works,
absolutely,
the guys. You know, I look at those three right there. Of course, our recreation is second to none. We have fantastic people there. But if you don't have good police, good fire, good public works, your community suffers. And we got folks that really love this community, want to live in this community, and I think we need to do what we can to get them in here.
Absolutely. Chief Richie, you know, I'm glad you add that element of fire department, because, you know, when I think public safety, I kind of lump them all in to one.
Sure.
You know, so yes, when I speak for police, I speak for fire department and EMS and all those additional workers that are all kind of compiled in that public safety component. I think the town of Mount Pleasant is going to be privileged to have you running for council, and I look forward to seeing you serving. I continuing to serve the town of Mount Pleasant. We're a great community, and we'll only get better by having you continue to be a part of it. What do you have in parting words for me this morning, sir?
Tell you what, my friend. You know, I'm excited about continuing to serve. You know, I'm ready. I'm capable, and we are a great community that can be made better if we just work together. And I think that's exactly what I want to do. Work with all of my council members and community members to continue to keep this town great.
You know, Chief Richie, I don't know how I'm never going to call you Carl. I'm sorry, but nonetheless, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for my last 8 years home, man. The collaborative efforts that you and I have done
Absolutely.
Together has been one that We truly have been community partners. I can go on and on and on about the things that we've done together, but I don't even think we got enough time in this show to do that.
Well, we don't.
Because, you know, we can talk about them, and if we start talking about them, then we're going to go on and on. But I want to thank you for everything, from the Youth Summit to the Christmas block party to the walk to Columbia. I just so many things that you helped me with. And so I want to thank you. And I look forward to having everybody out there. The millions of listeners know that Carl Ritchie, former chief of police for the town of Mount Pleasant, is running for town council in the town of Mount Pleasant November 2nd election. Get out there, support him. I appreciate you, Chief.
Thank you, sir. And I salute you, sir. Take care.
All right. Take care.
All right, buddy. Bye.
All right. That was Carl Ritchie, a.k.a. Chief Ritchie. He, unfortunately, I don't know how he's going to ever lose that stigma. I can only imagine somebody going to the podium to address council and say, Chief Ritchie, and he's sitting on the council seat. And not over where staff typically is. It's going to be kind of funny. I think it's going to be funny. But I want to talk about Sweetest Day before I get my next caller up, because I got another caller that's going to be coming on. And we're talking about Childhood Obesity Month, because it is Childhood Obesity Month. And we're going to talk about that here shortly. But before I go on to that, I want to talk about Sweetest Day. How many of you know what Sweetest Day is? And if you're from Ohio, the great state of Ohio, I guess I have to say the most unique place I've ever lived, and unique, you can decide what unique is, but Sweetest Day, they celebrate that. They celebrate that in October. Now, I'm going to talk about that Sundays. Typically on Sundays, to find out what your thoughts is and why Ohio celebrates Sweetest Day and we don't. Now, I'm going to send some flowers to my Cincinnati mom, Kathy Alexander. I know you're listening because you always listen. I'm going to send her some flowers for Sweetest Day. Now, you know, I still don't understand Sweetest Day, but why Ohio and not South Carolina? Would you here in South Carolina rather have an open carry, or would you rather have Sweetest Day? And if you're from Ohio and you celebrated Sweetest Day all your life, then call up and tell me why are you so celebrating Sweetest Day? And if you live here, and I know there's tons of Ohioans that are here, if you live here in South Carolina and you're still celebrating Sweetest Day, why are you? So, Sweetest Day, it's on the books. It's a discussion. I'd like to know your thoughts on it. And remember, anything I talk about, you're free to call up. The number, 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. Call up. And also remember, I mentioned earlier that the Jay Rice Show is also on podcast. So if you go to WJNI's website, click on podcast. You'll see the Jay Rice Show. Go there. You can listen to previous shows. If there's a show you may have missed, go there. The information is worthy enough to be shared more than once. But in this case, you can listen to it as often as you like. So WJNI's website, click on Jay Rice Show. The podcast is there. Go and listen. Be informed about some of the things that we talk about. But again, remember, all discussions are on the table. They're all on the table. Would you buy a fake vaccine card? How much is it worth? Very disturbing comment about, you know, that fake vaccine this week. I think that's irresponsible to be saying such a thing, that it's you're more subject to be a criminal act to ask for the vaccination and to ask, you know, for people to get a vaccination card. But I'm gonna jump right in. I got another call on the line. We're gonna get right to my guest caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show. Good morning.
Hi, man. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? On the line with
You're
me
well.
This morning is Justin Bennett?
Correct.
Outstanding. Justin, thank you so much for being on with me. Justin, you are a I'll let you tell the audience who you are, but more importantly, you work with Louis Kids.
And that's correct.
And everybody know that September is Childhood Obesity Month, and Louis Kids have been close to Jay Wright since I came home back in 2012 when I did the first walk with my sister and my brother-in-law, and who are now sponsors of the show, from Mount Pleasant to Columbia, South Carolina. Louis was a part of that then. Louis helped me orchestrate. So it is a privilege to be on and have you on with me this morning to talk about Childhood Obesity Month, what it means, some of the things that you guys are doing. Justin, introduce yourself, please.
Sure. My name is Justin Bennett. I'm born and raised in Mount Pleasant, living in the Charleston area for the past 30-some years. And I started working with Louis Kids 10 years ago when I was still a cadet at the Citadel. And I've been volunteering now, coaching to now, I guess, being the director of this year's fall program, where we should be impacting the lives about between 20 to 40 families, training for an 8-week program for the, we're calling it the Walk Run Reindeer Run, mm-hmm. Which is the reindeer run sponsored by the Charitable Society of Charleston. It's a 5K through downtown Charleston, and it's going to be a fun 8-week program training up to the race.
Justin, that's you're doing great work there, and I know you obviously you have a passion for it because you fully embraced it. Now you said something a few minutes ago that made me say, "Wait a minute, I may know this kid." I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you kid, but I may know this young man. Bennett, you're from Mount Pleasant. What part of Mount Pleasant?
Yes,
where'd you grow up at in Mount Pleasant?
It's Hamlin Road, so the Bennett's right in the Hamlin community.
Wow. Okay, well, Justin, you know, it's amazing, man, to have you on the show, and I didn't know it before now, but I do now know that you and I are related.
We are. Yes,
So I did not know that coming into this. So, you know, we have to talk later about our relations, but it's pretty amazing to have you on the show this morning with me, and again, just simply not know that we're related. That's pretty cool. So, and it's even cooler to have you working with Louis. Now, tell me a little bit about the Big Chef, Little Chef event y'all had on Thursday night, and was that a huge success?
It was a great success. It's probably our largest fundraising event we have. It's when we pair 5 kids who either have been involved in Louis Kids and a program in the past, or their parents have reached out due to COVID. We didn't have similar programs we normally did, but parents reached out saying that their kids want to be involved and want to get into the kitchen. So we paired 5 kids that premiered, I guess, 5 courses of a dinner with great 5 chefs in the Charleston area, 2 of them being Rodney Scott, some James Beard Award-winning chefs. Mm-hmm. And it's just simply teaching them that what they cook and what they can cook can be a healthy alternative, which is kind of the fundamentals. It's teaching them some of the core skills in the kitchen, and hopefully some of those skills transition back home where they can actually go and help cook dinner with mom and dad and try to make be that voice of, oh, we can make a healthier alternative versus what we're currently doing.
Yes, that's a big deal, man. How do you guys pick these kids that participate in that?
A lot of it's just done by, I guess, the board members as well as the coaches. We definitely pick the stars of the program, the guys that are really involved. They're encouraging others to run to keep up what they're doing, and a lot of it has to do with obviously they embrace the program. They've embraced the blueprint for change that we encourage, mm-hmm. and they're the stars of the program.
That's very good. And you know, I really got to commend you, man, for being a part of Louis Kids, but more importantly, reaching back because that's truly what it's all about. Which ultimately tells me that we are family because we're kind of running in that same circle. And you know, for you to give back to those that may ultimately not have that opportunity to work with a coach or someone that's passionate about their livelihood or their health, It's tremendous. And I really, really want to sincerely thank you for that. You know, September is National Childhood Obesity Month. Tell me about some of the things you guys have planned for September and what should we expect?
So pretty much right now, we're going to continue doing, if any families right now are reaching out, I guess reaching out to louiskids.org, which is our website, or info@louiskids.com, we are setting them up with Margaret Taylor, who is pretty much one of the biggest hearts and brains of the program. She is our child behavioral psychologist, and she kind of really works with the parents who actually also make the meals, make the planning of the household, and kind of help them put this blueprint for change, which is what Louise Kids is a fundamental, our fundamental tool, where we're not the fad program, but we're actually going to put a true plan of action that changes the family dynamic. And it's the coaching aspect that I kind of cover, and it's also the mental aspect where Margaret is the champion of. So we're doing that and doing a lot of preparation in order to get ready for our next program, which will be starting in the first week of October.
Okay, outstanding. So if any kid that face obesity that wants to get involved with Louie's Kids, how can they get in touch with you or with someone at Louie's?
I'm sure we definitely can all, you can simply send an email to info@louiskids.org. Or we have also have a Facebook page, Louie's Kids, where we all kind of correspond and we definitely respond to any questions that pop up that way. Mm-hmm. Or you can also reach louiskids.org, which is our website, and you can reach, I guess you can submit an email or a request. And from there, we definitely will set you up with myself, who, if you need some training aspects where you're trying to get a training goal together, mm-hmm. or Margaret, if you're trying to obviously get that blueprint for change enacted.
Okay. Outstanding, man. Outstanding. Well, Justin, man, you know, you went to the Citadel. You know, I'm retired military, man, so I'm combat ready and I'm fit to fight. So I got to get out there with you, man, and get out in front of, get out in some of your programs and put my face in some of those meetings where you're talking about some of this great stuff. And I want to thank you so much, man. Louie, again, Louie's Kids, and Louie has been a tremendous sponsor and supporter for me, even dating back to that very first walk from Mount Pleasant to Columbia. Maybe I can get you to help me get that walk orchestrated again. My brother Barry, man, who passed on, I love him dearly, and my sisters and those guys, they helped me put that walk together for those 4 days, 25 miles a day, 8 hours a day, and that walk was about childhood obesity, every step of it to the state house. So it was fun. Justin, I got all the logistics. I got the route, everything down packed, man, even where we're going to stop at to get water. So you and I get together, man, let's see if we can maybe recreate that. And it was a lot of fun. I'll do Barry's role now. I'll be in the car riding to make sure, you know, you got all the things that you need. But thank you so much.
That sounds really fun. I would love to do it.
Well, let's talk about that. And Louie was a part of that, so I can't thank him enough for that. But thank you so much for what you're doing. Continue to do the great work of the Bennetts, because that name is that's a big name in Mount Pleasant. And you know, I can go back to Tom Bennett, and I'm sure you can as well. Or at least you,
yes, sir, my uncle.
So you keep on doing the work that you're doing, and we are guaranteed we're making our ancestors proud.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me as well.
Thank you, Justin. And I look forward to talking with you later on.
As well.
All right, take care. Justin Bennett with Louie's Kids. I didn't know that y'all, man. When I saw the name and I saw the photo, I was like, I could be related to this kid, but I don't know that. But anyway, 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. I know you got something you want to talk about. Is it Sweetest Day? Is it the vaccination, the mandate in North Charleston? What does that look like? Are you an employee? Do you have a problem with it? So what is your thoughts? If you're one of those employees and you're the exception, you want to be the exception, then let's talk about how you feel about that. You know, the cards, again, would you buy one? And what are they worth? Is the flooding issue, is that, I asked the question, is it global warming? Is it infrastructure issues? I don't know. I don't have the answers. So what I'm looking for is I'm looking for you, the audience, to help me. 843-308-9564 is the number. Also, if you're one of those that live here and you're from Ohio, are you still celebrating Sweetest Day in South Carolina? You don't really have to anymore because you're not in Ohio no more, where they're celebrating. I just always thought it was a way to make people spend money. But anyway, very important question I have for you today too as well. And I want your thoughts on this because, again, it's happening now. And not only is it happening now, but I want you to think about some things. All right. How many Afghanistan that worked for the U.S. government during those 20 years that we occupied that country, how many of them worked for? Is it 100,000? Is it 200,000? Is it 10,000? Is it 20,000? Well, here's my point, and here's why I'm going to go here, right? Is because Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848. Spanish-American War, 1898. World War I and II, Korean War. And, of course, there were two other wars before the Spanish-American War. How many of them folks helped America and our government during those wars? How many of them did? So that is the big question, right? How many Afghanistans worked for the government during all 20 years? And then I'm back to that question from last week, the difference between asylum seekers and refugees. But I know one thing. I don't know if it can be said that we're certainly a nation of immigrants. Because if we think about the Spanish-American War, the Mexican-American War, World War I and II, how many of those folks worked for us that we brought over to America afterwards? So that's a question. Now, I'd like for you to help me. I don't know how many of them worked for the government over those 20 years, but do you know? At least do you have an idea? I'd like to get your thoughts on it because, that's something that's been a discussion of this past week about people being left over there that may have helped America while we were in Afghanistan over those 20 years. Seen a whole lot of interviews on TV with Afghanistans that are now here, they're here and they're saying that they have family members that were left in Afghanistan and they're worried about their family members. So, I guess I don't know the answer. I don't know how many people helped us in 20 years, but I do know that if that's a pattern, from war and occupying areas, that sympathizers come to America, we're going to always be a nation of immigrants because we're always involved in a conflict somewhere outside of America. So what is that number? Do you have an idea? 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. For the next 15 minutes, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what your thoughts are on any of the issues that I discuss. But even more importantly, if it's something I didn't discuss, you're free to call up. Maybe I'll entertain that because, it's tough to try to put together a show prep without you, the audience, because I know there may be something that I may bring to you, but it may be something I may have missed. So if there's anything that I missed that happened this week, call up. I want to hear what your thoughts are on. So 843-308-9564 is the number. Load the lines up. I'm ready to hear from you. I did have a question. And, my question for you as well is, what would happen? What would happen? Okay. What would happen right now if if the healthcare workers, the hospital, which are facing this public health crisis and it's causing them their lifestyle to change? What would happen if they all went on the strike? Can you imagine what that would look like? And what would we do? And you know, doctors and nurses and those healthcare workers, they're some of them are dealing with a lot of issues right now. From a study in the UK indicate that 68% of medical workers suffer from PTSD, anxiety, and from the workplace. 68% in the UK. So what if they all went on a strike? Man, in the middle of a pandemic, that would be devastating. I can only imagine. But we're gonna get some callers up on the line, and we're going to hear from them about anything that I'm talking about. Good morning, caller. Welcome, WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning, Jay. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, brother. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right, man. I wasn't going to call, and I was going to give some of the other callers a chance. But, you know, you have a way of making a statement or two and bringing up a question or two that just – forces me to call in and give my opinion. You know, I've always got an opinion, so I'm always willing to share it. So
absolutely, yeah. And I appreciate that. But let me say something right quick before you share that opinion. This is Wallace Washington. Sure. Wallace was in the studio with me a couple weeks ago. Y'all know Wallace is also now a new sponsor with our True Life Ministry, and he'll be on next week, either him or Tammy. But in the future, one day, real soon, the show's gonna start off with my theme song. And then Wallace Washington's voice is going to come on, and that's going to be my co-host for that day. So in the near future, it's coming to you. But go ahead on, Wallace.
And I can only hope to fill the big shoes that you leave behind, but just to stand in for you whenever you need me. But you mentioned earlier about two things. One, about the vaccine and the mandates that are coming out over in Tampa, where I live mostly. We also have a mandate that came out the very next day after the FDA gave full approval, which I support. I think those people interface with the public a lot, and I think it's important that we all try to do the right thing to protect ourselves and protect each other. But also last week, there was a very important Supreme Court decision which upheld a controversial Texas law that kind of limits abortions and allows individuals to sue anyone that they see or helping assist in an abortion. And I know those two things don't sound the same, but the same people that are willing and are so fervently supporting the government telling a woman what to do with her body are some of those same people that are saying, I don't want the government telling me that I have to take a vaccine. To me, it's absurd, right? Mm-hmm. You want to impose rules and restrictions on what and personally, I'm opposed to abortions, but I think a woman and her God has to make that decision for themselves as opposed to my government. But those same people that support that don't want to be told to take a vaccine that could save millions of lives. And to me, that's just hypocritical, if nothing else. And also, you made the comment about the many, many Afghanistan people, interpreters, and others that have helped our military over the past 20 years. It's probably impossible to count that number, and I'm sure we're going to leave some important people behind. And I think it's unfortunate, but it's kind of hard right now to go back and put that water back in the pitcher because we probably didn't keep enough good records so that we can make sure we track those people, and possibly for good reason, right? We don't want to have that information fall into the wrong person's hands or into the Taliban's hands. You were a military person. You probably have a better experience and a better knowledge of how that all works. But unfortunately, we are going to leave some people behind, and we probably will never know how many people really helped us there.
Right.
My final comment is about Chief Richie in Mount Pleasant and the safety that we have here in Mount Pleasant. I concur with all those statements, and he has been pretty instrumental in a lot of programs that you put on and stuff to really reach out to the community and get community input. I remember a couple of years ago when the U.S. Attorney's Office had a symposium, and they brought in the police chiefs from all over the state of South Carolina, and they had an open engagement about police training and police activities when it comes to, you know, a situation we've seen repeatedly over the country where people of color have been killed by police officers. And he was one of the few that mentioned that he actively trains his officers to try to de-escalate and try to prevent putting themselves in a situation where it's a you shoot or be shot situation. And I think that's commendable, and more police chiefs and more police departments need to take that kind of proactive role. So I commend him on what he's done, and hopefully he'll have a good future with the town council. That's right. That's my few words. I'm going to give someone else some airtime, but I did want to come in and chime in from. I do know Justin Bennett as well. He's a good kid. I've known him just about all his life, and I commend what he's doing there with the obesity program. We need to establish one for adult obesity like myself. I didn't have childhood obesity, but I certainly have adult obesity. I need to join you on that walk.
Hey, man, but you know, again, Wallace, man, it's always a pleasure to have you call in. You know, you and I, we spend a lot of time talking about a lot of things all the time. But, you know, it's amazing because when I saw his picture, I was like, this kid looks familiar. But I did not know who he was. And, you know, and when I heard the name Bennett and he said Mount Pleasant, I'm like, this kid could be related to me. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I heard the wheels turn in your head when you're like, wait a minute. We're family. Yes,
exactly.
Indeed. But I enjoy the show, man. I'm going to get off and let someone else get a chance to get on and keep up the good work.
Wallace, thank you so much, man. And I appreciate you and Tammy and True Life Ministry and for becoming a sponsor. And
definitely.
I look forward to getting you in the studio soon.
We do too, and I'll probably let Tammy do that on his last. People heard my voice enough, so they can hear a different voice next week. So we'll have Tammy to call in to talk about the upcoming events for the 16th to the 19th.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Wallace.
All right, man. You take care.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right. Y'all heard him. Y'all heard Wallace. He was chiming in on issues. You know, that abortion thing was a big deal this week. And, of course, I think that'll be a topic for years and years and years and years to come. I don't think it ever be not a topic. It's been one for years. But, you know, again, the lines are open. 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number for you to call in. If there's anything I talked about that you want to talk about, you heard Wallace. You heard Cousin M. Those are callers that call in because they want to be heard, and they want to chime in on some of the discussions that I have here on the Jay Rice Show. You know, I got sponsors. My sponsors uniquely, they don't call, but they just text me the whole show, telling me what to do. So you know, if I pause for a second, it's because I'm have to read something from one of my sponsors that are telling me what to do via text. So and I listen sometimes, and sometimes I don't listen, but. Let's move right along. We want to talk about today's issue. Are you celebrating Sweetest Day? And if you are, why? What are they doing in Ohio? Again, my Cincinnati mom, you're going to get flowers in October because it is Sweetest Day. But if you live here, why are you still celebrating it? And what's the rationale behind Sweetest Day? I just don't think that's quite unique. Afghanistan, 20 years later, how many people worked for us? So how many people did we leave behind? Like Wallace said, there may be no real way to know the actual number of people that worked for with the American government. But, you know, we like to know what that looks like now for those that were left behind and how are they feeling? I mean, will they then become Taliban, ISIS, I mean, not ISIS, I'm sorry, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, will they become one of those terrorist activities organizations because America left them behind? They felt like they were done wrong by America. That is something that I think we truly face. And I don't think that, I think anybody, if you see it differently, then call up 843-308-9564 is the number. And remember, always remember, I'm Jay Wright. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm right, but it is the Jay Wright Show. So you can call up and tell me that I'm wrong. Say, Jay Wright, this is how it is. And this is what you think. So it's important that I hear from you. Again, that number is 843-308-9564. You have time. Call in. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you're thinking. I know I got millions of listeners, but I also want to make sure I beef up the callers that are calling in as well, because I know you're sitting there, you're thinking about what I'm saying, and you got to, you know, you're making your little comments, but you don't want to call into the show. Call up. Nobody has to know who you are. You can get in. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on a multiple of issues that I've talked about this morning? I do again want to thank call Richie, Chief Richie, as I'm going to always call him. Chief Richie is running for a town of Mount Pleasant Council. The elections are in November. Board of Elections. You guys get out there and call them up and find out what's happening at the Board of Elections, who's running in those particular offices. You need to know that. You need to know that information. In fact, I think the Board of Elections is actually looking forward to you calling them and getting information so you know, so you can be informed before November 2nd elections on who the candidates are, who's running for public office. Get informed. November 2nd is not far away. So get a chance. Call Board of Elections. Find out who those candidates are. That number, again, is 843-744-8683. 843-744-8683. That is the number to the Board of Elections. And the email is bevr@charlestoncounty.org. Get online, call them up, find out what you need to know so you can be informed for the November 2nd election, and get out and register to vote. Make sure you get out and register to vote, and get others registered to vote as well. Is there something I talked about today that you did not, that I didn't cover? I want to hear from you. You have time, call in. Is it something that I failed to mention? Will you buy a vaccination card? And what would you pay for that vaccination card? Is that, I guess, what was reported this week that shouldn't be a criminal offense? But I'm going to say it is a criminal offense if you selling cards that that say you're vaccinated and you're not vaccinated. Where do those cards come from? Where do you think they came from? And who would want to buy a vaccination card? Why would you even want to buy one? But again, if you can buy a fake Louis Vuitton, you can definitely buy a vaccine card. And but again, I don't understand the rationale with with buying a vaccine card. What does that really do? And how much would you pay for it? Will you get the booster shot when it comes available? That is a new thing. That seemed to be a very big thing. Looking at the crowds at all the sporting events, you know, what is that going to look like a week from now? Should we be fearing numbers that are not easy for us to look at? But it's a sporting weekend, and a lot of the college games happen. If you're in if you're here in South Carolina, what is your thoughts on University of South Carolina game not being televised locally, while Clemson game was televised locally? Clemson got got beat up on pretty good. That wasn't one of their best performances. Well, it looks like Carolina ran up the score on their opponent. Who's upset that they didn't get a chance to see Carolina versus Clemson? I know there's a huge divide here at home. With that Clemson and South Carolina thing. So both teams played yesterday, 1-1, 1-loss. And typically, you know, that's kind of, I'm not mistaken, we kind of used to seeing one win when the other one loses. But your thoughts on that? And what will become of all the issues from the hurricanes, you know, those images that we saw, they're amazing. They are amazing. We have to question again where we are. I want to thank my sponsors. My sponsors always who make the show. Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters Check Cashing, True Life Ministry on Rivers Avenue. Thank you to the sponsors. They are the one that make the Jay Wright Show possible. Without my sponsors, there would be no Jay Wright Show. So I want to thank you, and I look forward to next week. And again, this is election season, so expect to have a candidate or two on the show every week. You all stay in peace until next week. Stay engaged, stay informed, but more importantly, continue listening to Jay Wright Show. Thank you.